You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello and a very warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Tuesday's edition of the podcast, where we'll be taking a spin through the Racing Post Monday jury, first of all, before turning our attention on to Tuesday's racing. And a busy day of racing once again on Tuesday, not quite like the day of racing we've had on Bank Holiday Monday, but still a full day. Ludlow, Sedgefield and Yarmouth in the afternoon, with Wolverhampton and Lingfield in the evening domestically, and Ferry House continues as well. Another good card there on Tuesday, you can hear all the action live on Racing Radio from 1:30 p.m. with James Millman, joined in the studio by Gary Capewell and John O'Connell. Sam Norris here on the podcast and joining me on Tuesday's edition. It's a warm welcome to Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
Hello, Sam.
In good form?
Yeah, pretty good. Yeah, enjoyed myself last night. I went to Darren Owens'
wedding
up in Moulton area.
Ken said that the wizard was speechless, which I can't even fathom what that would look like.
Mm. That's probably off the back of about 20 pints.
Right.
Yeah, so the speech gets even more
just
unrecognisable.
Yeah. Good dude.
Yeah, it was, yeah. Saw a lot of people I haven't seen for a long while. A few people that used to work for William Hill back in the day.
Yeah.
Nice to reacquaint with those. A few press lads that were in good shape. And Gary O'Brien actually came over as well.
All right, okay.
So it just shows you what esteem Darren Owens held in the fact that
it does, yeah.
Gary O'Brien missed a day's broadcasting of the first day of the Ferry House Easter meeting to come to Darren Owens' wedding. Of course, they go back quite a while because of the Radio 5 Grand National commentaries. So he was the star amongst Eleanor Tomlinson as well.
Right, okay.
And Malcolm Tomlinson.
Good, good.
Of Poldark fame, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, it was a good good night was had all round.
Good stuff, yeah. Massive congratulations to Wiz, of course. We will be turning our attention to Tuesday's racing very shortly, but we start, as ever, on Tuesday's podcast with a look through the Monday jury. And the first question this week looks at last week's Nell Gwynn winner. Obviously, very informative few days at Newmarket last week. The Nell Gwynn won by Quabala, who's now been installed as the favourite for the 1,000 guineas. The race had a very open look to it before the Nell Gwynn, and you kind of felt as though the first horse to throw its hat in the ring was going to go favourite just because of the open nature of the market.
Yeah, I mean, there was lots of talk before the race that Roger Varian had got a couple of nice fillies in there. The betting in the morning was certainly favouring Monjuist.
Yes.
Who had been successful the year before over the same track, beating a couple of horses at Reopposed. And she was fairly solid in the market. She won a race, finished second, but it was Stabber Companion Kabbalah. It was a late spring, I think 8-1 in the morning into 130 favouritism, which come to the fore. I played the video back because I was actually working that day. I played the video back on her just to reacquaint myself with her run. Mm. And even though it wasn't a particularly big time figure, it was an eye-catching performance. And the horses that she beat behind second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth have all won since.
Right.
In maidens over the winter on the all-weather. So that form had obviously worked out a treat. She just looked physically stronger and more developed than some of the others, that she would go on quite considerably as the season goes on. And the great thing about her is that she's put a marker down, but she's also run over the track twice, which has got to be a huge advantage, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you know she's fit. You know she's from a yard in form. She handles the dips. She comes up the hill really well. The ground was quite quick there the other day. I think she's a big player. Obviously, the market suggests that. I also think Dandu, who ran quite well in that race, is one to conjure with as well. She looks as though she probably would be all the better for the run. You've got to respect, I know Brian, whatever he brings over, he's got Just Wonderful, who was good when she won over the Rally Mile as well last year. She won fast ground, real fast ground action. Fairyland, So Perfect as well, of course, ran well from a bad draw in the Fred Darling at Newbury. You'd have to factor her in as well. So it's a more wide open race than the 2,000 guineas, arguably. But yeah, Cabala certainly the right favourite on what we've seen so far this season.
Yes. The 2,000 guineas is getting a little bit more open now that we know Two Darn Hot is going to miss the race. Obviously missed an intended run in the Greenham at Newbury last week, and John Gosden's now ruled Two Darn Hot out of the guineas, which is a real shame. A shame for Connections as well, because they've had some really good horses in these colours, but boy, some of them have been fragile. We obviously had Somi Dar and Lati Dar missed their intended engagements, and now Two Darn Hot is sadly going to miss the guineas as well. Opens it up a little bit more. 10 sovereigns now the favourite from the all-conquering Aidan O'Brien yard, we've already touched on.
Yeah, I've had a vested interest in the 2,000 guineas this year, more than I would have done in previous years.
Okay.
I kind of like followed the two-year-olds all the way through last season and their time figures, their style of running, their mannerisms. I watched them quite intently and made little notes about horses like 10 sovereigns and Calix and Advertise and all the horses that won their trials and what have you. My override impression with 10 sovereigns, having clocked in doing a magnificent time when he won at the Curragh first time, it was he was going to be a sprinter.
Yeah.
I put down in my notes, this horse is all over, a Commonwealth Cup horse. Now, he's favourite for the guineas almost by default now. He's yet to prove himself beyond six.
Yeah.
You know, three wins, good wins as well. But, you know, Jash gave him a big fright when he won his last race last season. And he didn't look to me as if he was flying through the line.
Yeah.
Looked like a miler. I don't know whether he'll end up running, whether Magna Grisha will do duty for Ballydoyle. But if he were mine 10 sovereigns, I wouldn't go anywhere near the guineas.
Right.
I'd just go straight to, or think about running him in the Commonwealth Cup. He reminds me of that horse of theirs, Caravaggio.
Yeah.
You know, they tried him over for, they tried to make him a miler, which they often do, Ballydoyle, for breeding purposes. You know, that's the big thing for them, winning the guineas.
Yes.
Making him to a classic contender. But the Commonwealth Cup now is just as valuable, and obviously sprinting sires are well sought after worldwide. But he looks all over sprinters for me, 10 sovereigns. I wouldn't say I couldn't have him on my mind, but I think he's a weak favourite. We know Magna Grisha definitely gets a trip, having won the Racing Post trophy. The form of that race hasn't really worked out that well. It looked more of a grinding performance rather than a spectacular one. But look, you know, we know he stays a stiff mile. My override impression of the Craven Stakes, it was a messy event. I didn't think the front two Godolphins ran anywhere near their expected standards. Obviously, Royal Marine and the other horse, Zakuski.
Yeah.
The betting was a bit funny on the day. They came for Scard. It was almost as if that one was the one that was expected to come through because there were so many negatives surrounding the other ones. And again, he got the job done, but maybe he won a substandard affair. It was a fair time.
Yeah.
But again, it didn't knock my eyes out thinking, oh my God, there's a guineas winner there. He subsequently shortened up from 10-1 into 6-1 again because of the other defections. Hard to see Royal Marine improving to beat Scardew. So this leads me on to the horse that I've actually backed, and I feel quite sneaky about the angle I've taken with this one. But I've always been a big fan of Muhatha.
Yeah.
When he won the Horace Hill last season, he beat Arcano quite impressively in a fast time, and he did it against the bias. There was a massive track bias that day. He had to be drawn down the middle. He was drawn wide, and he won a 33-1, which was ridiculous, but he won like a good horse. And I put him up to win the Greenham the other day on the basis that I thought he was the most likely to improve. But it was a real test that day. They went a proper gallop. The fastest time I've got so far this season from a three-year-old race.
Okay.
They went a right proper gallop. Boitron and Sylvester D'Souza, they obviously fit and fancied. He went off in front, set a good tempo on tacky ground. And this Muhatha just come there as if he just joined in. And then he found that kind of turn of foot that leaves you thinking, good horse here.
Yeah.
Now, the question with him is he going to be a 6 furlong horse? Is he going to be better dropping back, or will he get the mile? My theory is that if he's ever going to get the mile, he might just do it in an arguably substandard 2,000 guineas.
Okay.
And maybe on good ground. If it was good ground on the day, good to firm ground, I think it'd help him get home, because nothing will beat this horse for turn of foot.
Right.
If he's still there at the furlong pole travelling well, he'll kill him. I still think he's overpriced. I think he's massively underestimated. I backed him at 50-1 before the Greenham. A couple of firms went 25-1 after he'd won, and I still couldn't believe what I've seen. I'm thinking, am I the only one that's seen this? I mean, even Marcus Tregonin, and he chooses his words very lightly nowadays, said this horse has shown brilliance.
Right.
And, you know, he doesn't often use those kind of words, and he was brilliant that day.
You look pleased with yourself, Andy.
I am. I feel, yeah, I'm like a Cheshire cat. And I've backed him again.
Right.
I actually backed him the other day at 16s because I had a feeling Too Darn Hot wouldn't run. I thought 10 Sovereigns is going to be favourite. And I thought, well, I'll be confident that Muhathir will beat 10 Sovereigns because of his... Put this out, if there's doubts about Muhathir staying, there's got to be equally doubts about 10 Sovereigns. Yeah. So it just didn't make any sense. He's now 9-1, and I still think he's overpriced. I genuinely do, Sam. I think he should be very, very close to favourite. If you haven't had a bet, I still think recommend him quite highly.
A strong word then for Muhathir then in the 2,000 guineas. On to some of the other questions then. The two-year-olds that we've seen this season, anything from a speed figure perspective, I suppose, will be your...
They seem a good bunch this season. The one thing we could say, I'll try and keep this one fairly brief, is that a lot of them are fast and forward and looking as though they're ready, and a lot of trainers and handlers have got them switched on first time out with Royal Ascot in mind. Archie Watson's obviously hit the ground running. He sent three or four already to post and they've won. Lady Kermit, we've seen, she's very quick. I think she might go to Chester, something like the Lily Agnes. Mm. He's also got a very smart filly called Exclusively, won at Redcar. Beat a horse called Ivorwood. The horse that finished seventh, Great Dane, won out of that race of the day. Time figure, that was the best figure I've got so far this season. In Ireland, there's been a couple of good ones as well. Horse called Monarch of Egypt,
yep.
One of Aina Brown's won the other day, first season sire, won at Navan or Nace. I think it was Nace. He clocked a good time. And the horse that Charlie Appleby's at Newmarket the other day, Well of Wisdom.
Oh, yes.
George Scott had a horse in that race. It was Fantical Storm Power, led down to the furlong pole, didn't quite get home, but set good fractions. And the time figure for that race is very good as well. I think we've seen quite a good bunch already. The pick of which is exclusively on the figures.
Okay. On to all the champions final day, of course, which we had on Good Friday, and Catchy in particular. Where would you send Catchy next if he was yours? Obviously, a horse that's a great little horse, lightning quick from the gate, everything you'd want from a sprinter. And obviously, there's plenty of people who fancy he could run a good race at Santa Anita in the Breeders' Cup.
I think that's a logical thing, isn't it? You know, the fact that his best form's on a all-weather surface. Obviously, it's slightly different. It's dirt rather than polytrack. And that quicker terrain definitely suits him because he just skips over the ground, and he obviously likes tight bends as well. So maybe some of the flat turf UK tracks might not necessarily be ideal. The one that springs to mind which will suit him is York. It's maybe something like the Nunthorpe. Whether the King Stand is his bag on that stiff 5 furlongs, would he be able to shake off Blue
Point,
who obviously is a stalk and pounce horse and gets the six as well as the five. I'd have my doubts, but he's a very talented horse, but I think we might just see the best of him always on an all-weather surface. So that seems to be the logical approach, doesn't it, to go down the Breeders' Cup route. But he's going to be a great fun horse for connections all the same.
Definitely, absolutely so. We'll leave it there for the Monday jury and turn our attention on to Tuesday's racing now. I've got a couple of races to take a look at. We'll go through these in chronological order. So we start at Fairy House with the 4:10, which is a Grade B handicap hurdle. It's a series final. This one as well. We've got a field of 25 runners plus a couple of reserves in there. So there's plenty to go at, Andy. What have you unearthed in this one?
Well, normally you want something with a bit of experience in a race like this. You know, the big hustle, bustle, kind of maidens, plenty of handicaps we see. A lot of these have had lots of runs this season. But there's one big target trainer for me now who's pretty, I'd say, getting to the point now where you can almost rely upon any of his if he's got something laid out for the race. You know, you look at the way he campaigned, a Plutard, Henry de Bromhead, I'm talking about. Honeysuckle, who, of course, won the Mayor's Final yesterday, Grade 1. He kept that off the track. Missed Cheltenham. I know that's slightly enforced because of the injury, but he's got a horse in his care called Insult, who won at the EBF Maiden at Punchestown back on the 20th of February. Was well backed on the day off the back of a good run first time out at Tramore when he was a bit green. But they went a good gallop that day. There was no hiding place, and I thought he stayed on very strong there. Interestingly, now this is one of the reasons why I didn't fancy the mare of Willie Mullins's for the champion hurdle, Lorena.
Oh, yeah.
I did quite a few forums and a few in Ireland, one with Patrick Mullins on, and he took umbrage with me when I said that Lorena couldn't win based on the times I'd got. Lorena...
You had the last laugh.
Again, well, I did in the end, but I stuck my neck out because Insult...
Right.
Who won the 2.5 mile maiden on that same card, ran the last circuit 10 lengths quicker than Lorena.
Blimey.
Now, my theory was that either Lorena isn't a champion hurdle horse.
Yeah.
Because if she couldn't beat Insult over running over a half a mile less on the final circuit, how on earth is she going to win a champion hurdle? Or Insult's a very good horse.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was half right with the Lorena project, but I still think that Insult's a decent horse because his time figure was so good. I've been following that form, that punches down race. It has worked out really well. The third has won finalist. Big Nick, who was fifth, has won. We get actually a chance to see that form line as well today as we speak on the Monday with a horse called Southern Lights, who runs in the first race at Cork. Keep your eye on him, because if he goes well there, this form line's improved even more. Now, interestingly, he could have run him anywhere since, but he hasn't. He's kept him off, kept him fresh, off the track for 62 days, goes into this race off a mark of 125. I'll be staggered if this horse isn't better than 125 further down the line. The only thing that will catch him out, like I say, is experience, but because he races prominently, you know, like we saw yesterday with Honeysuckle, if you can get him in the first two or three, you're not running against 30 horses.
Doesn't matter how
half the field's behind you.
Yeah, sure.
If you're on a hold-up horse that's got 20-odd horses in front of you, it's a different ballgame. But if you think he jumps and he's in the first two or three, he's only got two or three horses to worry about.
Yeah.
So that's my theory anyway. Anyway, yeah, Insult, well handicapped. Rachel Blackmore, Henry de Bromhead, laid out for the race. I think he's a decent horse in the making.
I like it. Insult in the 4:10 at Fairy House then. And we wrap up the podcast with a 4:55 at Lingfield on Tuesday. A mile handicap, which features the flag bearer of your speed figure operation,
yes.
Dark Alliance.
Indeed. I thought it was pertinent that we talk about Dark Alliance. Been as we get a chance to on the podcast, we don't often do. And we usually get emails in anyway saying, well, what's his chances? So I thought kill two birds with one stone. He's been a grand servant all the way through the winter, as we know. Placed often, more often than not. He's run one or two in different races, had a bit of bad luck here than everywhere. Only won the one, should have perhaps won one, maybe one or two more, had he had the rub of the green or a better draw. Last time out was a bit of a disaster. It was a horrible, filthy night at Wolverhampton. He got stuck out wide. Shane Kelly ran for the first time, couldn't settle him. Ended up pulling his head off down the back, and then he had absolutely nothing left. Also felt as though that he'd had a hard campaign and he needed just a bit freshening up. He'd only run 3 days prior to that when he'd finished second. So we probably rushed him back and he should have had a break. He's now had 21 days off. Mark's still happy with him. He's got a good draw, and we've got Jim Crowley on. Unfortunately, we couldn't get our usual Oisin Murphy.
Yep.
Ed Drake, great checks as he's out. Shane Kelly read him last time out, has been booked for Connaught Ranger. We thought about trying to get Jason Watson, but he was booked to ride Here's too. So
yep.
We got Jim Crowley. Drawn is still one. All he needs to do really is just settle him. If he can get him settled, switched off, a mile round Lingfield's absolutely ideal. I think it should go good pace. And hopefully he'll bounce back to his best. Two of his best runs this season have been at Lingfield. So we'd be very hopeful.
Fingers crossed for Dark Alliance then on Tuesday. Don't forget you can enjoy all the action from 1:30 on Racing Radio. Andy, thank you for that.
No problem.
As always. And enjoy it. Best of luck with Dark Alliance.
Thanks, pal.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.